Hello, everyone. We are going to talk all about camp. We're going to do the Q&A. I'm going to let a few people come in and make sure that my mic is working. If it's not, I shall switch it. So I just need to sit here. I will say this. If you're watching the replay, look at this beautiful cup. This will be on stage with me at camp. So if you're wanting to get an in-person view of it, you should probably come in person. All right. Somebody from Alaska's here. Good afternoon. Will you tell me if you can hear me okay? If I'm sounding good, I can get started. I just don't want to tell everybody anything until I know that my sound is actually working. Let's see. I can hear you. All right. They can hear me. I have my sound guy over here to my left. He was making sure that, and it's not Luau. I know y'all saw his tail walk behind me, but it is not Luau. He is not the sound guy. All right, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take questions. I am flying solo today. So that means that I don't know that my team is inside of the comments. Most of them are off because it's Friday night, and which they should be because the team works so hard, which is one of the cool things about camp, is that whether you come virtually or whether you come in person, the whole No BS team is working alongside you. So what we do for our big events is if you're virtual, you will be inside what we call a virtual Zoom room where you will be able to see everyone who is assigned to your room. There's about 300 to 400 people per room. And that may sound like a lot, but honestly, it's really not a lot in terms of big Zoom virtual events. And we will have about 7 or 8, maybe even 9 virtual Zoom rooms. So when you come to camp, every Zoom room has one of your favorite No BS team members in there working the chat, making sure all your questions are answered, helping you, connecting people, and all the things. So one of the things people always ask is like, well, how does all of this work? So a lot of the people over here are saying like virtual works awesome. So if you are listening to this replay in the Private Member Podcast, I would invite you, if you are a Facebook member, to watch the video or at least scroll through the comments over in the chat. If you have done virtual camp, will you please let everyone know how amazing our virtual camps are? This is not me blowing smoke up your ass. I am telling you right now, we do everything we can to make sure that you're having an immersive experience, whether you're there in person or you're there virtually. We spent an entire year last year. We have done 4 major events virtually, all online. We get a huge hotel space. We convert it to a studio with its own stage, our own No BS shit. We have a live DJ the whole weekend playing songs that I personally curate to make sure that the mood is set and all the things. So a lot of people will ask me like, well, if I'm a No BS member, why should I go to camp? Let me tell you why you should go to camp. So if you're wanting to lose weight and stuff, it is, of course, you can do it all being a member. It is not like you have to go to camp. But camps are a special opportunity for you to be able to spend 3 days focused on you. We go from Friday noon until about 5 p.m. On Saturday, we go from 9 a.m. to about 7 p.m. We have a special thing that happens on Saturday nights. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And then on Sunday, we go from 9 to 3 p.m., all central time. We do take an hour for lunch, so you don't have to be worried that you're going to sit there and starve to death and stuff. I don't like work you like a dog the whole time. We do take breaks also. But this is where we are going to talk about a topic. And we're going to do it over and over and over again. And we are going to journal and you're going to do worksheets and you're going to watch me live coach people on these specific topics from these worksheets. It's a weekend where when your brain is really focused on this one problem, you can make so much more progress in the problem. Lots of people leave camp with their lives changed. So this particular camp is all about self-sabotage. I think self-sabotage is one of those things that we all deal with. I've been writing the content for the last few days, like really getting into, I've been researching for months and now I'm finally into, all right, let me write the workbook. Let me take them through like from start to finish. This is what self-sabotage is. This is how it's playing out in your life. This is how it started. This is how to let go of the idea that it's bad. Here's all the things that we're going to identify, all the different ways, types and stuff, because I know self-sabotage is confusing for you guys. We think it's like some kind of like Freudian mystery. It really isn't. And then we're going to come up with solutions for it. How do you rewrite stories? How do you unwind all of it? So I will be teaching you through the weekend this thing called the unwind process. And guys, if you're having any questions, make sure you don't ask them just yet because I can't go back and read them all. I'm going to ask for questions at the end and then I'll take a few. All right. So I'm going to be teaching you guys this thing that I created called the unwind process. And let me just read it to you because it is on my desktop right now. The first step is we're going to uncover. So we're going to spend the first part of camp, the first day, about like on most of, well, all of Friday, and then the first part of Saturday is all about unwinding why we have self-sabotage and what kinds of self-sabotage do we commonly do. And we're going to normalize it, which is the second part. So you have to uncover the places it's showing up, and you have to normalize self-sabotage in your life. And the other thing that you have to understand is that we're never trying to end self-sabotage. Now, I do call it ending self-sabotage, but I want you to think about it this way. My goal is to teach you how, for the rest of your life, to be able to easily spot when you've done it, when you're about to do it, when you are doing it, when you're thinking about doing it, all these different stages that you can break self-sabotage, like you can interrupt the pattern and go a different way. And it doesn't matter which stage you catch it in. So I'm going to be teaching you about all those stages so that you can stop feeling bad about like, yeah, but I just caught myself after like 3 weeks of eating my face off and I gained 5 pounds. And then we go into shame-shaw mode. It is not needed. When that happens, that means that you have caught self-sabotage in one of the stages. And the quicker you realize it, like, oh, I've caught myself. I have now, like, I've seen the consequences of it. You save yourself so many future overeats because once you catch it, if you don't shame yourself, you have the ability to switch gears. And I'm going to teach you how to just get right back on track. That saves you lots of overeats from the shame. So we're going to go into all of that. So there'll be these stages that we do. So it's uncover. We'll uncover all of them, and then we're going to normalize. Part of the normalize process is really understanding all the different ways that we self-sabotage. So I'll give you that too, because I think this is important. It's called self-sabotage indicators. The workbook literally has all the different ways we do it. I'm going to read them off to you because in the workbook, this is what you'll have. A good example of what self-sabotage is, the explanation, and for every single individual one, we will be learning the solution for it. So here are the ones that we're going to do. Dread and tired. How many of you self-sabotage because you dread doing something or you're tired? Like for me, a lot of times I want to eat when I dread doing some project that I think is going to be hard, or I'm tired as fuck because like I've had a long day. And so then I want to eat. The next one, things are going well. Like, oh my God, Corinne, like, I don't know why I suddenly started like not making my plan and stuff. Everything was on track and it feels like suddenly I just started going backward. Next, self-doubt. A lot of times when we're feeling a lot of self-doubt, We have a self-sabotage thought running underneath, like, I don't know if you can lose weight. I don't know. You've never been able to do it before. You have to learn the solution of what to do when that is plaguing you all the time. Otherwise, if you have a lot of self-doubt, eventually you'll do little quits. You'll just start assing around because of self-doubt. The next one, I'm not good enough. Just not good enough. I've got my laundry list of reasons why I'm not good enough. And I take my list everywhere I go in life and I plug and play the reason why I'm not good enough no matter what I do. I'm not good enough in my mothering. I'm not good enough in my wifing. I'm not good enough in my taking care of my cat. I'm not good enough in my cleaning of the house. I'm not good enough at the job. And we just plug and play this everywhere we go. It is another area where if you hold on to not good enough, you will experience self-sabotage, especially in your weight loss. Let's see. Is that my mother? Somebody said what a great speaker she is. That has, I don't know if it is. I can't see. It just says Facebook user on my end, but it's probably my mother. My mother's always doing that. Virtue eating. A lot of us are self-sabotaging with the virtue eating, which means, well, I was doing so good, you know, until I ate the Oreos, those bad foods. And then what we do is when we are caught in self-sabotage around virtue eating, that means that we are making ourselves a bad person or a good person, depending on what we put in our mouths. If we sit around feeling stuck before we can even get started. So for some of you, you join the membership and you're like sitting around not doing shit with it. You might be listening to some videos. Like you're probably sitting here like, oh, maybe I need to go to that camp. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. There's a lot of maybes. There's a lot of wondering. There's a lot of asking people. There's a lot of all kinds of stuff. The only thing that's not happening is the doing part. So we want to make sure that we're addressing when we notice ourselves getting stuck before we even start, how do we address that? What do we need to be unwinding in our brain? Next up, I'll start later. Now's not the right time. So like shit hits the fan in life. It's like, well, now's not the time to really be doing this whole weight loss thing. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of hang out and I'll get started later when everything is back to normal. A lot of us are doing that. We're like sitting around thinking that the day we get our vaccine, it's like, oh, and then we won't want to emotional eat anymore. You know, when I got my vaccine and I can go back to doing some shit, then I'm going to be like all motivated to do all the things. No, you ain't. Because there will be some other bullshit that will be like, well, now it's time to party. I spent a whole year not doing jack shit. Now's not the time to get started. Then the next thing you know, you're going to roll into the fall. And it's like, yeah, but my kids are going back to school. Now's not the time to get started. This is a self-sabotage pattern that has to get unwound. You have to understand that it's going on and how to fix it. FOMO, fear of missing out. That is a huge self-sabotage. When your brain thinks that if you ain't eating, somehow you're missing out on everything that's going on. That is a common self-sabotage pattern. If you have a fear of missing out, if you have this fear that when you're not participating in the food, in the drinks, or you'll have a miserable time, then when you go to said events, you go in ready for bear to be miserable. That is a self-sabotage. Next one, losing weight's hard. Oh, fuck, it's hard. It is a whole set of self-sabotage stories that you've got locked in your brain. When you think it's hard, you imagine everything that you're fixing to do and the worst possible scenario. Your brain goes ham on creating ridiculous stories around what you've got to give up, how like it's different for you and all these other kinds of things. And you get caught in that self-sabotage loop. That means you can't feel the motivation today to do the little things, which means that there's another one that comes up. I'm going to lose people when I lose weight. This is a huge one for a lot of us that we don't even examine, that we're going to, if we lose weight, our partners won't love us as much. Our partners are afraid we'll leave them. What if I don't love my partner? after I lose weight? What if I lose weight and I get so happy with myself that I can't stand to be with the person who I used to eat with? This is a big one, and it comes up way more frequently than you would think. A lot of people worry that they're not going to have their friends if they lose weight. They're surrounded by their eating buddies. And when the food's gone, they realize they do not have much of a relationship outside of Outback and a Bloomin' Onion and a bitch session. And so we have to really look at this one and to make sure that it's, you know, is it realistic that you're really going to lose people? Or is it time to start working on your actual relationships and the ones you're choosing and the ones that you might be denying yourself by hanging on to the old? Most of us, I will tell you on this one, most of you have got people that love you to death. They've never given you one reason to think that they're going to leave you or anything, but you've made up stories in your head about it. And we have to unwind those things, or you'll end up eating. Because who's going to choose losing weight if it means losing the person you love? I'm meant to be overweight. It's in my genes. This is another self-sabotage story that we tell ourselves that we have to debunk. A lot of the solutions are going to be I'm going to have you do a worksheet where you spend some time picking the ones. I'm only going to allow you to pick three. Now, I know most of you probably have about 7 to 10 of these. That's okay. After camp, you're going to have your brain primed on the top three that will make a huge difference. And I'm going to have you do a blueprint to where for 90 days after camp, you will tackle one area and you will leave camp with all the solutions. You will leave camp with all the actions and you will make a plan on what you're going to be doing for 30 days to work on that specific self-sabotage issue. So at the end of the 30 days, you've made tons of progress and you know when it's trying to sneak its little way back in. We'll have the volume turned up so much on the conversation that you will realize that you always have the power to catch it in all these different stages. But that's not even all of them, my friends. There's still more. We also have, I'm going to work on loving myself first instead of focusing on losing weight. This is a huge self-sabotage pattern. This means that you think that losing weight doesn't mean loving yourself. Like, I got to figure out how to love myself first. It's like, no, we need to make sure we understand that the two go hand in hand. I watch a lot of you want to do this. It's like, well, I'm going to keep my overeating. So I'm going to call it working on myself and just keep eating. What we want to do is start learning how not overeating is the ultimate expression of self-love. And how do you do that? The next one, I don't want my family or my job to suffer. I'm just going to have to be selfish. This is another line of self-sabotage thinking. Guys, I'm telling you, when I said I researched this topic, I bet I read 40 books and about 1,000 articles. I don't know if it's 40 books, but it felt like 40. But tons and tons and tons. I tried to collect as many forms of self-sabotage that we are all doing as often as I can, or as often as I could. So this is the next one, the I don't want my family and job to suffer. We have to redefine selfish. I have told you guys this 1,000 times. Selfish, the definition of it means I'm going to do something for myself with the intention of causing harm to someone else. And when you guys are sitting there thinking about your family, I don't think all of you are like, I'm going to start taking care of myself. And I really hope that my kids and my partners all feel like butt because of it. It's a no. You're not being selfish. All you are doing is deciding to take care of yourself so that you get to be an amazing version of you that I would bet your kids and your partners are going to be like, hallelujah, the bitch is gone. Y'all, what's selfish is sitting around feeling miserable, trying to people please and go through life and tell people you like doing shit for them when on the inside, you're dying with resentment or you're feeling depleted and wishing they quit asking you to do shit. That's selfish. Selfish to you. So we want to make sure that we are learning how to unwind all this and start asking the right questions like, who's going to suffer? What is this suffering that's fixing to happen? Just make it like just checking our brain. So much of this weekend is going to be me guiding you guys through how to check your brain. Check for validity. So many of the, one of the big pieces that we're going to do, which is the next step, is we're going to write a new but true story. Is y'all aren't even checking your brain to see if what you're telling yourself is even true. You're just believing it because you thought it before. So we're going to do a lot of brain checking. And for all of my people that have lost weight and who have regained, I have a special section for you. All the other stuff is there, plus these three hot babes or four hot babes. All right. You lost weight, but you weren't as happy as you thought you would be once you did it. This is a really big self-sabotage thing that happens. I'm going to teach all about, like, in your workbook, how do you now really start losing weight in a different way? So we're going to pull apart how you lost the weight and how you talk to yourself, and then we'll put back together. Now that you're going to go back and you're going to do it again, you're going to do it with the new lessons of how you talk to yourself on the way down. The next one, you felt vulnerable when you lost your weight. Like, you're so used to not being seen, to flying under the radar with your weight, to not putting yourself out there. Then all of a sudden, it's like, you're thin, you've lost weight, everybody's commenting, you know, as you're going down the scale. Next thing, like, you don't really love the attention. Because it makes you feel like you're going to, like, what if I fuck up? Now everybody's noticing me. When I was fucking up before, no one really noticed. I would just identify it as the big girl. What happens is we start having an identity crisis as we go down. And when we feel vulnerable and we feel like people are going to be thinking about us, if we don't know how to put lush thoughts in other people's heads for ourselves, what we do is we put terrible thoughts in other people's heads. We usually are putting the same thoughts in their heads that we have about ourselves. And that's how we end up regaining the weight. We regain the weight so that we can take the spotlight off of ourselves. The next thing is you felt like you were, but you also felt like you were in the spotlight. So those two are very similar, except the vulnerable one happens about, let me just read it to you. You blamed your weight for why people don't accept you or like you. Once the weight is gone, you feel vulnerable to other people's opinions because your mind is used to assuming people don't like you now or don't like you. And now your brain is left thinking people don't like you for who you are, not because of your weight, because you didn't really learn how to get in their brain and put good thoughts in there. And you probably haven't been putting the good ones in your own brain. Then the next one is you don't like the spotlight up when everybody's noticing that you've lost weight. And so now you think you got to live up to people's standards, like, oh my God, I could never have a regain. And then the next thing you know, you're over controlling your food. You're over worrying about everything you eat. You're making yourself miserable to the point of you need relief. And if you don't know how to get relief with your thinking, you end up just small grab-assing. And then the next thing you know, your small little blips on the scale are starting to happen, and it's triggering all your insecurities. And then the last one, I promise you, that is the last one, is you miss the spotlight. So when you first lose weight, a lot of you get in the spotlight. A lot of you have tons of people commenting and stuff. Then they get used to the new you. It's like all of you. There's nobody in here but my mother who knew me when I was overweight. Well, there's a couple of people I used to work with that are actually members now. Y'all didn't know me back then. Y'all don't come in and be like, oh my God, you've lost weight. Oh my God, you're so thin. Y'all just know me as Corinne. And so sometimes what happens is when all that newness wears off, all the comments wear off, we lose our security blanket. We've been relying on people noticing to feel good about ourselves. And when that's gone, we're just left with our normal conversation that we have about ourselves. You know, getting on the scale is not going to be as exciting anymore. It's going to bounce around. It's going to go up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little. You're going to shop for clothes and eventually you just wear a size 8 now. It's not as exciting. You're going to go to some stores and the 8s don't fit you well. And if you are used to relying on all that stuff to feel good when it's not in your favor, you end up having your self-lack and your unappreciation of yourself starts bubbling back to the surface. And so what do? When you gain some weight, you immediately go on another diet and you start talking about it all the time so that you can get back into the spotlight. And a lot of us keep these perpetual loops of wanting to be in the spotlight. So we're either eating with our friends while we're gaining the weight so that we can feel connected and appreciated. And then when we get sick and tired of that, we go on a diet and it's all we talk about. And like everybody's like, oh, it's so great. You're on a diet. Let me tell me all about it. And the next thing you know, you're losing weight. And they're like, oh, you're getting so thin again. And we get into caught in this loop of needing the spotlight. All of these are self-sabotage and what we're going to be doing that weekend. So if any of that resonated with you, this would be a great weekend for you. Because once we finish with uncovering and normalizing, next in the unwind process is I'll teach you how to write a new story around all of your self-sabotage. We're going to trace back the beginnings. Where do we think some of this started? Why do we think it's here? Even if we don't know when it started, why do we think we're doing this? What is it serving us? And some of it will just be like, Kryn, what you wrote in the workbook, that's exactly my issue. So I'll do the heavy lifting for you. Once we do that, we're going to do the next step is identify new actions. So we're going to do a do line workshop. I'm really good at helping people figure out things to do and try and how to get super specific about it. We did something similar at January camp, and I'm going to do another version. I'm going to teach you guys the difference between a mindset for all you rebels who don't like being told what to do, even if you're the one telling yourself what to do. I'm going to teach you a couple of mind hacks on how to get around rebel syndrome and how to make sure that when you create these are the things that I'm going to do, how do you make them small enough to where it's easy to do? How do you break all your doing down so small that you have like 30 days worth of things that you can incorporate so that you're not just trying to do all of it at once, but we stage it out a little bit more. Then after the do line workshop, or after that, the next part of the unwind process is you have to learn how to tell your brain the story around all these things you're going to do for yourself. Most of us have a shit story that, well, I'm going to do all these things and, you know, that's going to be hard. Did you know it's going to be hard for me? Wait, let me tell you, it's going to be really hard. I'm going to have to just be with my discomfort. We think the only way to talk about all these new actions is with some kind of like thorny cross that we're going to carry up the hill like Jesus Christ. It's like, no, ain't nobody in here. I just keep saying this over and over again. We are not Jesus Christ. We don't need Last Suppers and we don't need a thorny cross either. So we're going to learn how to talk about these new actions in a new way, which means the new benefits that we're going to get. You get to talk about the things you're going to do in terms of, and this is what I can expect will happen versus, and this is what I can expect will happen. Some shit. It's going to be doo-doo. I'm going to piss people off. I'm going to have to make people suffer. It's a no. What if you learn how to talk about all the things that you're going to do and you learn how to apply, these are the things that could happen if I do this. This is the positive benefits that could happen. That's how you get your brain's buy-in. The last is do and delight. So when we're unwinding our self-sabotage, it's always going to come back to at the end of the day, you got to do the new things. That's why we're going to set them up simply and have lots of things to try. And you have to delight in yourself like a motherfucker when you do something new. You cannot be sitting there and continuing your sad ass story of, I hope this continues. I got lucky today. I barely made it. I hope tomorrow I don't fuck it up. That is not delighting in yourself. That's setting yourself up for future failure. So we're going to learn how to do that. And for all of you, like somebody said, one of their like stories is like, I have too much to do. Here's the thing. Kathy and I actually did a podcast on this today. And nobody in here got too much to do to lose weight. What do you got to do? Stop eating when you've had enough and don't eat until you're hungry. Guess what? If that's the only two fucking things you would do, you save yourself time. Think about all the time you spend in fucking regret and worry and angst. And hell, if you got that much to do, what the fuck you want this call for? This is the lies we tell ourselves. We never give ourselves an option to question the shit we tell ourselves. It's like, it's not that I've got too much to do to lose weight. It's that I keep thinking I have too much to do and I eat over it. There's my truth. It's like, I got so much to do, I refuse to burden myself with feeling regret tomorrow. And I refuse to burden myself with extra food in my belly that slows my busy ass down. There's something we can think about. But that's how we get caught up in self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is all the thoughts you have tucked away in your unconscious that you're just telling yourself all the time that just feel so true, and you don't even hear them anymore. And so when you don't hear them, then they're wreaking havoc like gremlins in the movie. They're like, just going crazy, ripping apart your life without your say-so. Catch yourself doing shit you swore you wouldn't do. You catch yourself doing things when you're like, but I really want to lose weight. Why would I ever eat my face off on a Friday night after I've lost 2 pounds? Self-sabotage is at the root of it. And it's this unconscious programming. And all we got to do is find these thoughts, make them loud and proud in our life so that from now on we get to hear them and we get to challenge them and we get to tell ourselves new things over and over and over again so that our brain can unwind the old story and then reprogram a new one. That's what this weekend is all about. We're even going to do some other shit. Gremlins are grumbling for sure. So we're going to, it's just an amazing weekend. It's going to be so good. I can't wait to teach this one. So one of the questions that I'm getting is, let me tell you this one other part. For all of you who are afraid to feel your fucking feelings, because part of being able to do the new things means you're going to have to feel the feels. I think it's so important to self-sabotage that you guys learn how to feel your feelings, that we are going to spend a whole workshop, not just talking about feelings, but we're going to feel some feelings. I'm going to teach you guys some techniques on how to practice them, how to feel them, what is the body scan. We're going to do the now process that I teach you in NoBS live. I'm going to teach you how to generate a feeling on purpose too. A lot of us don't realize we can generate some feelings on purpose if we want to. And we're going to do that too. All right. What questions do you guys have about camp that I can answer? Let me answer the one that we've gotten so much in the, when people are emailing us into our customer service. And that is, what's the difference between the Ending Self-Sabotage course that's in your bonus course now and what I'm going to be teaching this weekend? The Ending Self-Sabotage course is good. It is a version that I taught last year. It was a 4-hour workshop that I did, and you got the videos. I don't think we put every single thing in there, but we put most of the important things in. What we're going to be doing at camp is total immersion for you. It's a transformation weekend. So camp is not just about the content. It's about the taking some time to work on yourself. So I always advise people, make sure that you are setting aside time to like really focus. come to camp with the intention of, this is the weekend. I'm going to learn all about my self-sabotage and I'm going to apply myself. Now, some of you, I know you can't come that weekend. So what I would suggest that you do is if you want the information, we give you the entire weekend in chaptered videos, including the worksheet time and stuff. You can do this work on your own. You guys can also, if you come to camp, y'all can feel free to, like, I've got a couple of, like, one of my friends, the way that she's doing it, who's inside the membership, she and another friend, they watch the video separately, and then they come together, and they do the worksheets, and they talk about what they learned during each section. So if you come to camp, there will be people who won't be able to come, and there will be people in the virtual group who would love to do that. A lot of our accountability groups do the same thing. They get together and they put out a schedule and they're like, all right, we went through it live together. Now we want to go through it again. And we're going to do one video every couple of weeks until we get all the way through it together. So those are some of the different ideas that you guys can do. Is it appropriate if I want to learn about the big and small self-sabotages, such as a small win on a weekend and then the overall big self-sabotage that we may do and not realize? Yeah, like, so we will talk about weekend self-sabotage and stuff. A lot of times those things are happening because of the bigger ones. Those are, so when we do the change, when we do the, like, catching yourself in the stages, during that section, I'm going to be showing you, like, how weekend self-sabotage is a smoke signal for this version, for this bigger thing. So we will be doing that. So yeah, that's awesome. Do y'all have any other, someone else wanted to know if DJ Jerry will be at Makeup. DJ Jerry will be there. What's in the swag box? So this is awesome. I'm going to have a swag reveal box for all of you. I believe it's sometime in April. It may be the like sometime around the April 15th time zone. It's on the calendar now, but the swag box is on its literally the very last item that's going in the swag box is on its way, and they have everything else. We have put an amazing package together. One thing I can tell you that's going to be awesome that's in the swag box is everybody is going to get a new old shitty, same little old shitty. You're just going to get a freshie because a lot of people's dogs ate them. Kids played with them. My old shitty's tip fell off. So I'm waiting on my new one. And you're also going to get new hotness. So we got old shitty squeeze ball who looks like a poop. And we're going to have the new hotness squeeze ball so that you have both of them. For some of you, that may sound silly, but I will tell you, I cannot tell you how often I have been sitting at my desk and something comes through my mind and I know it's an old shitty and I look at little old shitty looking at me and I just squeeze it and I just remember, and this is just an old shitty thought. So we wanted to give you the new hotness squeeze ball so that you can sit there and like when you want to have a new thought, you squeeze. I'm really big into learning in as many ways as you possibly can. And for some of you, it's like even just having something like that is enough of a cue for your brain to ignite what it needs to think about. Let's see. What does one wear to camp each day? Business casual? Casual as you can. Get comfortable. So for all of you who were coming in person, and make sure, guys, you get signed up. More and more people are getting vaccinated. Those spots are going to sell out. So don't be dicking around on that one. As my mother would always say, stop dicking around. That's what she would tell my brother all the time. My mom always had the most amazing things. That's how I get all my amazing statements. So in person, I would dress comfortably for the room. Like I would not dress up or anything. Now on Friday, if you're coming in person, I am getting my vaccine on Wednesday. Yay. And I will be fully vaccinated by camp. Every one of you will get a photo with me. What we're going to do is we're going to ask that if you're there in person, that you only get the photo with me and the photographer so that we're not out in the halls and we're not doing all kinds of selfies and all that kind of stuff. But that every one of you who are there in person, you will get a photo with me. And we'll make sure our photographer's there and that she takes care of all of it. And then we will give you the digital photos and stuff. But I would just dress comfortably. And Champions will be open for all of you who are coming. If you've been to camp before, you know that there's an amazing bar and restaurant at the hotel that is ultra chill, ultra cool, great food, great hospitality, and it ends up being like the post-camp hangout and processing area. So it will be open, and you might even see me swinging on through there because most of the time I like to eat my dinner. So sometimes you'll see me and Chris. The Saturday night special is always Chris and I do a Q&A from the stage. And this time we're actually going to get some new questions. So the last few camps, we've been kind of answering some of the same questions. What we want to do is we want to look for some new and unique ones. We'll probably still tell our story and stuff, but for all the new people, but we will also be populating some new questions. So for all of you who come to virtual camp and you invite your spouse or your partner, because a lot of you do that, feel free. At night, bring them. Chris and I are an open book, and we feel like we do relationships very well. So I know a lot of you, it's been meaningful for you, and we're going to continue to do that. Let's see. You said that the newbies need to work on the Nobius course and not be doing extra things like the journaling course. Do you recommend camp for newbies? I do recommend the camp for newbies. By the time you get there, you won't be a newbie anymore. But I would make sure, and you have until May 16th. You will be done with Nobius by then, but camp is really special and unique, and a lot of times friendships are forged, epic changes are made. The learning is just really intense for people, and I don't mean intense in a bad way, but it's like, wow, I didn't realize if I would just spend some time focusing at this level, how much stuff could change. And so what a lot of campers learn how to do is to actually apply no BS and their like regular calls and everything in a whole new way. Like, we really try to teach you while you're at camp how to make sure that you are like really learning how to pay attention. You're really learning how to truly sit with your journaling, do the journaling. You proved yourself very often when you go through camp that like I can get pretty insightful when I'm just focused. And that is a great transferable skill. Let's see. I guess that's all the questions. I can't believe you don't have any more questions. I really thought that we'd be jack loaded. Well, that's like the overview. So if y'all have any other questions, ask them now. Oh, someone wanted to know if those who get coached are chosen ahead of time. We're going to choose some people ahead of time. What we've been doing in the past is they are chosen a little ahead of time. So we tell each room, like, here are the things we're going to get coached, what we're going to be talking about. And if you want to get coached on this topic, you know, you get to be selected. This time we're going to do a little bit different of a process. We don't have it nailed just yet, but the way that we're going to do it is now that we're transitioning to hybrid, where it will be in person plus it will be virtual, we want to make sure that both sides feel very included. And so what we're going to do is we're going to alternate. So we will have some people from the audience probably doing more of the asking of the questions and stuff. And then we'll have the virtual members getting some of the coaching. Now, some of the people in a virtual audience will also get coached. So don't think you're not going to get coached if you're in virtual. I mean, in the live person, that's not what I'm saying. But I want to be, what's hard to do virtually only is like rapid fire Q&A where people can just ask questions. That's going to be the beautiful thing about being able to have people in person who can grab a mic and ask questions. And the people in the room are for sure going to be just mirroring what all's going on inside the virtual space. And then what we're going to do is we're going to alternate where we're going to select people. We're going to tell like, this is the topic and this is the topic you must get coached on. And if you hear someone else get coached on it, we're going to move to another person. So we're going to do a lot of making sure that things are decided more ahead of time so that you get to be in your virtual rooms and all that kind of stuff. So we're working on every camp. We've streamlined the process just a little bit more and got better and better and better. We learned a lot last camp, so we will make sure that it's better and better and better. Is there a Friday night session like Success Stories? We are not going to be doing a Friday night session of success stories this time. It is a long day for our success stories and a long day for the crew that films us and all of the coaches when we add that component on. So we're not going to do that this time. But what we have decided to do is we're going to create some little vignette videos that we can play, like either during lunch or different times where you guys can watch some of the success stories. One of the other things that we're also doing is all the success stories that we have done, we are creating a place on the website now for those where you get to see all of the ones we have done in the past so that you have access to be able to watch those at any time you want. Will those of us in person get a chance to be coached live too? Yes, for sure. And here's the benefit of coming live is that Kryn doesn't take a lot of breaks. You know, when we go, we go. So a lot of times during lunches, like I don't like to eat lunch because then I burp all afternoon. I'm a little funny about that. When you're there in person, there's a lot of opportunities for me to just sit on stage and the people who were there live to get some extra time. So that, you know, and for virtual, we have to cut the camera crew. It's the big, they need a lunch and they, you know, they're working all day and they're having to do their things. So, I mean, one of the benefits of coming in person and one of the reasons why, you know, in person costs more than virtual. Virtual is our affordable option, but with the in person, I want to be able to give you guys some special time and stuff. So we're working all of those things out also. But I will promise you that if you come in person, it will be a mind-blowing experience. We have never had a camp that was not mind-blowing. I just I've never had people just say like, well, that kind of sucked. Like it just isn't. We do everything we can to make sure that you feel special, whether you're there virtually or whether you're there in person. Like that's always the goal. How can we make you guys feel special and amazing? And transform your life. I don't do camps and stuff just because it's like, well, I like being on stage. If I can't change your life and I can't make a huge impact in your life and we can't help you feel like the red carpet's rolled out for you. And this is, I will just tell you guys, like this is when camps first started. The very first one was in my house in a basement. And everybody slept on couches and guest rooms and any place that they could pull up a rug. And there were 7 people that came from all over the country to spend a weekend with me because we'd all met online and I was helping them. When we went to having more than just 7 and it started being like there's about 25 or 30 of us at each camp, we do a party night on Saturdays. Now, until the COVID's over, can't really do the party night. I'm going to tell you what, though, when the first party comes back, y'all better watch out. We might blow the roof off the fucking Marriott. But I always said a party night because y'all, I always cry when I tell this story. When I was overweight, I never felt special. Ever. I never had events to go to. I'd go to dances. Nobody wanted to go with me. And when I first started having camps, what I realized was so many women that came never felt special. Like I didn't feel special all my life. They never went to a party where they felt like they could be themselves at any size. And so when I designed camp, the entire 13, 14 years that I've been doing it, it's not just about like nowadays, like it's a big show and I like teach you guys and the way that I can educate you has grown exponentially. But at the bottom of it, I want you to feel special. And I want you to find friends. And I want you to walk in virtually or in person and feel like you belong, that you are with your people. I can't tell you how many people have come to our events, virtually or in person, and said, I'm such an introvert. I was so worried that I wouldn't be accepted. I was so worried that I'd be alone and that no one would care. And it was not like that. And that if you didn't want to talk to anyone, people respected you for it, but they just gently checked in. We just do everything we can to help you guys feel like there's, I don't want there to be anything in your way, even if that means like discomfort in the room. I'm like particular about how we space tables and stuff, because I remember being in meetings and being so ashamed to go to the bathroom because it couldn't fit, because no one thought about people of size. We think about everything, and we try to. And if we haven't thought of it and you tell us, I guarantee you, you see it at the next event. So I just want you to know, like, it's more than just like, we're just going to talk some self-sabotage all weekend. It's really about the experience. I really try to create an experience for you guys where you feel included and we break down all the bullshit going on in your head so that you actually can absorb all the information. I think sometimes you guys don't even realize your environments and stuff are so loaded, and you got so much shame, you got so much worry about what other people are thinking, you got so much of that going on. It is no wonder it's hard for some of this to sink in. So part of the goal of camp is to make sure those walls are torn down and torn down immediately. And it starts from when, like, if you come in person, we have changed so much since our last in person. It's going to make what we used to do for 350 look like we didn't know what we were doing and why we thought we were hot shit then. So I can tell you that we try to think of every detail. And when you walk in, I want you to feel like you've walked into the No BS experience. And when you come virtually, I want you to feel like you're there and you're at the No BS experience. It's why I'm so particular about the swag box. It's why I'm so particular about the quality of the paper that the workbook is printed on. I can't tell you how many people write in and say, like, I'm thank God you don't use cheap paper. Because I don't want anything in your way. I try to think of all your little details. So that's my big, I thought I wasn't crying tonight. That never happens. Is there anything we can do to prepare for camp in the next 2 months? Yes. And when you get your swag box, you will know exactly what to do. I recorded a video today. And it's part of your swag box. I don't know if my makeup looks a haint now. There's going to be a little code that you can scan and you will get a special video from me talking about your swag box and talking about what you can do between now and camp to get ready. Is there a cutoff date for when the swag box will no longer be available? The first swag boxes are going to start shipping on April the 9th to international. The following week, domestic starts going, so everybody can get their swag box. When we sell out, though, we're done with the swag boxes. We will put it on the website. I ordered a fuck ton. We had, last time we sold out, I ordered, so camp before last time, we had 1,800 people. So I ordered 2,500, thinking that'll be enough. 2,800 of you came. It wasn't enough. So this time I ordered 3,500 pieces of swag. So, but once 35, if we sell the 35, which we probably will, don't forget, we got a whole new crop of people coming into the door on March 31st. If I was you and you were like, I for sure want that swag box, I would get registered sooner rather than later. With all the new coaches, it would be wonderful to have a panel like you had in October. We're trying to do some things. We're trying to get some introductions made and stuff. That's one of the things I'm thinking about, but I don't know if we can make it happen in this one. This particular camp is loaded with such juicy content that I really want to take you through self-sabotage. So I'm not sure we'll be able to get the coaches up there, but I am considering having them come up and do some co-coaching with me or doing something along those lines. We've got all kinds of things that we're thinking about doing for this one. I just promise you, we'll knock your socks off. All right, this is just for camp questions. That Botox question, if you'll post that in the Facebook group, we'll get it answered. Where is this exactly taking place? In Nashville, Tennessee. Everything's happening in Nashville. If you're on virtual, it happens in the comfort of your home, an Airbnb or a hotel room. A lot of our campers, they leave their family and they go and they spend a weekend in a hotel by themselves. And y'all can go to pnptribe.com. That's your membership login. Go to the events tab, and that's where all the camp information is. I've had my first vaccine. Can I register for camp? Now knowing my second vaccine schedule. When you get the second one, you can register them because we want you guys to send in proof of your vaccination. So we would need proof of your second vaccination happening. I'm signed up for virtual, but I'm getting my shot tomorrow. If I'm able to get fully vaccinated, can I switch to in-person? What would be the cutoff for that? Anybody who signed up virtual can switch to full, to in-person, as long as we still have spots available. So it just depends on if we sell out of spots and stuff. Also, I will just tell you guys, we have 80 spots. I'm not going to promise that we're going to increase it. It depends on demand, but as more and more people are getting shots in Nashville, we can have up to 150 in the room. I just didn't want to commit to anything because everything's changing every single day. So it's really just let me be fluid on this one. I would never want to make promises to you guys that I can't keep. And right now, I would rather say we're going to do 80. I know the hotel will always let me add more people later if we wanted to. But for now, the cutoff will be 80. If we have more people vaccinated, if things are rolling out faster than we thought, and if Nashville stays just like it is, where that room can go at 150 if we wanted to and still have some social distancing. We have a huge room. Originally, that room was going to do 500. When we planned this back in January of 2020, that's when I signed all the contracts. I signed contracts for this year then. We were thinking we would have 500. So our room is plenty big. Let's see. All right. That's everything. Guys, I hope you come. If you ever have any questions, just post them in the Facebook group. If you were wondering if it's worth it, if it's good, if it's anything, I trust and know that our girls will tell you the God's honest truth. So you can ask anything in the Facebook group and I swear it'll get answered. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Everybody, make your plans on Saturday and Sunday morning. Don't skip out because it's the weekend and do some douchebaggery eating. This is me helping you with your weekend self-sabotage. Other than that, guys, I will see you Sunday for live coaching at noon Central Time. Bye, y'all.